Welcome back, knuckleheads. This is week two of me trying that out. Let me know if you love it or hate it. Trying to shake things up a little bit, as you can obviously tell. My voice is even more annoying than usual. I'm trying to avoid getting sick, so bear with me. My guest this week recently did a TEDx talk. He's an Afghan vet and a co-founder and president of Kultala Holdings here in town. Edward Crawford is focused on serving purpose-driven businesses, so we're going to get into what exactly that means. I learned a ton from this episode and hope you say the same after, so enjoy. I know you're going to love it, so go ahead and hit subscribe now, share with a friend, and again, apologize, my voice sucks today. Edward, thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, let's jump right on in. So normally I wrap up with some easy wrap-up questions. I'd like to shake things up a little bit, get started with those, and then we can kind of get into the bulk of things, if that's cool with you. So what is one of your favorite interview questions? I'm sure you've interviewed a ton of different people over the years, so I'd love to hear. I've started picking up on some common themes, but I'd be interested to hear your take on that.
Yeah, I think what is your biggest failure is one of my favorite interview questions. It really draws people out, and you can see fairly quickly whether they have the humility to admit an actual failure, or yeah, whether it's they kind of take it as a blip on the radar screen. So
yeah, I like it. You're the first one to say that one, so I appreciate it.
Having had many failures in my life, it's an easier one for me to answer.
Yeah, that's an easy question.
Yeah.
So I mean, obviously, you're busy doing a ton of different things. You guys are trying to wrap up some deals now. Like, how do you personally stay healthy and balanced?
Yeah, so I do yoga, Bikram yoga. I also have a trainer that I'd go to. I had some back issues from some jumps. It's an incident in Afghanistan, and so I try to stay flexible. I also do a lot of CrossFit type of WODs, so functional fitness. And then recently I've started just trying to eat a lot healthier. I think it's important to know what you put in your body, and whether it's General Petraeus in the military, or an athlete, or just somebody trying to work through the day without having it be completely based on coffee.
Yeah.
It gives you that energy. And I think it's really important to your mind and body are in sync like that. So
interesting. What have you found there? That's something that's very top of mind for myself. I eat way too much candy. I have probably a terrible diet.
Yeah.
So could definitely use some pointers there.
Yeah, I think sugar is a big crutch for me. I think when I eat too much sugar, it throws me into a bit of a tailspin, and then too much caffeine as well. And so I've tried to start minimizing the intake on both of those and just try to get energy from natural foods and also from that kind of morning workout to get you through the day.
Yeah, I like it. Well, let's jump right on into some of the more important questions. So you guys are very mission-oriented at Kultala. I'd be interested to see how important mission and value is to you guys and how you implement that in the private equity world.
Yeah. I think really having a balance between servant leadership, profits, and then conscious capitalism is important. We look at it really in a mission and margin approach. And having that balance, we have a symbol that has kind of the yin and yang, and holding that in balance is super important to us. To have a mission and serve others and the people that are in the business is really important. Whether you read Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning or just literature about what drives people to get up every day and go accomplish something, having that mission helps everyone from the CEO to the employees, right? And so that's important to drive the business. And on the margin point, industry-leading companies, you know, generating those returns for investors is also important because there's a sustainability there. So I think when that gets out of balance, when you're too profit-driven, you forget about the people. If you just only want to help the people and you don't think about actually charging a price in the market and delivering a profit, then the business can fail and you're really not helping the people in the business either. So yeah, it's really that perfect balance between mission and margin, which is where we see as being the most helpful.
Yeah, very interesting. Can you give an example of how you guys balance mission and margin? I've read part of Conscious Capitalism, pretty familiar with the topic. I was just curious, like, Can you give some examples of what that might actually look like?
Yeah, I think it's from a private equity standpoint, understanding who the leader of the business is,
yeah,
and then understanding the people in the business. So from a practical standpoint, if you have employees in the business, taking care of those employees, we look at that from a benefit standpoint, for mm-hmm. example. We're doing a deal in the HVAC space, and you can have a great management team, but if the employees don't have the right benefit package, they don't have the right incentives and training program to really move up, then it's not as exciting for them. So that's really looking at it as a holistic way. So you have your management team, and then you also have the on-the-ground worker that's taking their, you know, Ford to work every day and going to the picnics with their kids. And so we really look at it holistically in that regard. There's a specific example.
Has it started to become more well-received, I guess, within private equity and just business in general? I know, maybe like 10 years ago, it seemed to have been much more of a, I guess, foreign business concept. Are you seeing more people go towards that direction?
Yes. The answer is yes. I think traditionally, and listen, we're probably one of the more early adopters here. But even if you look at KKR, there's been some articles recently, KKR is handing out ownership slips instead of pink slips. And they've really driven an employee engagement culture, specifically in their manufacturing and industrial practice. But you're starting to see this trend as 50% of the workforce is millennial, that people want ownership. They want to feel part of something. And whether it's the janitor, the line worker, or the CEO, it's important across the board. So private equity, I would say, is adopting it. I'd say it's a small percentage, but it's a movement, I think, that will take fire.
Yeah, interesting.
And I hope it does.
Yeah, that's great. Glad to hear you guys are here in Fort Worth. So you guys are a few years into it. I mean, are you predominantly looking for companies that already have this figured out, or are you looking to kind of bring what you guys are offering to the table and unlocking that value?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So I think on both sides, we want somebody who has servant leadership figured out. We want somebody who leads by example. And in the cases where we're working on now, that is definitely the case. So having a leadership team that wants to serve their people, wants to serve their customers, and really cares about making a difference is super important. They do have to already have that. If there's not an interest, then it's a more difficult conversation for us to get involved.
Yeah,
but on the operations side, we have the Catala Enterprise System, which is a lean system based on the Danaher Business System, which was based on the Toyota Production System. Damon Baker leads that that part of our team. It's called the Catala Enterprise System. So that we're looking for a growth-oriented management team that is interested in learning and being trained and equipped in that to grow together. So that's kind of what we look for, is that servant leadership mindset, that growth mindset, to be able to learn. You know, any business you have, there's always something more to learn. We're continuously learning ourselves.
Yeah.
And so that trait of being growth-oriented in analyzing your business and questioning everything as you look for three or four major priorities to get that growth started is very important.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about that enterprise system? Obviously, you don't have to share anything proprietary, but I'd be interested to hear kind of what that brings to the table and helps you guys win deals.
Yeah. So it's a, you know, I think money has become a commodity, and a lot of the business owners that we speak with are looking for somebody to partner with them. They may have grown to 40 or 50 million and they want to get to 250 million, or they may be handing down a legacy business, a family-owned business, to another management team that we're working with, and they want to keep their legacy growing. So how they look at it really with people, plan, process, performance. Those are the four P's, right? And on the people side, you want to make sure you have the right people. And so we're big on people development culture. We use everything from psychometric testing to team building in that respect. Plan, we focus on a few simple things. So we may pick 3 to 5 major priorities and focus on those. We work with management teams to focus on those. So that's the plan. And then process, really designing processes around everything from sales to getting your product to market, to operations, and finding what we call standard operating procedures or standard work. In the military, it's SOP, around those, so that if one person is out or somebody is sick, that everybody in the organization can kind of know what the procedure mm-hmm. is. And then performance tracking. So we do this to ourselves, but understanding, you know, where you're red and where you're green and looking at your metrics and KPIs very incrementally so that you can adjust very quickly is also something we do. So instead of just having quarterly meetings, it's a monthly, we look at bowlers and understand where we're red, right? Need to improve or catch up, and where we're green, doing well. And we have a saying, no problem, big problem. And so we have an open and honest culture. We want to admit these problems and then work on them. It's a blameless culture where it's not necessarily the person. It's, we just need to figure out how to solve the problem. And that we notice people don't filter information as much. They don't wait and kind of shield you, and you find out 90 days later in the quarter. So it's a way to have more transparency, and we think people feel more comfortable with that.
Yeah. It sounds like you guys are very hands-on. I mean, are you guys doing that at the corporate level, or I assume at the corporate level as well as at the companies that you acquire?
Yeah, yeah. So we're a big believer in eating our own cooking. You know, we invest in the equity in each deal, right? So we're investors in our own deals, and we use the Catala Enterprise System on us. So a couple times we've been read on something, and I've had to write what's called an A3. And I've had to spend 4 or 5 hours going through and looking at the data to figure out why, really why this problem occurred and how we can look to solve it. We can all sit around the table and have ideas, anecdotes, or opinions on it. But when you go down and ask, hey, why did this not happen? Why did this not happen? It helps you to really, it's a problem solving culture. So
yeah,
we do it. It takes time.
Yeah,
and it's hard. But we do it ourselves, and that gives us the ability to really preach it to others, because we have to be living it ourselves.
Yeah, makes total sense. I mean, just given what you just explained on that last question on that topic, but I'd be interested, like, how many things are you looking at? Like, for, you can use yourself as the example, when something was in red, were there 5 things? Were there 10 things that you were accountable for?
We're held accountable for about 20 different metrics, kind of as a group that we go through on every Monday. And then individually, we have certain metrics that we're held accountable for as well. And what's nice is those weren't given to us. It was a iterative process. So we worked together with every member of the team to say, okay, what's your most valuable priority? What's your superhero skill? And how do we bring that out the most in you? And then how do we track those as part of the organization?
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I'd heard variations of that, but that's definitely the most organized I've heard. So probably your military background.
It's organized chaos, but we try to think of it. We have a few people that are very good at organization in our group.
Yeah.
I'm not one of them, but I'm working on it.
Yeah, we all are. It's all on your website. You guys had the acronym BUILD. Can you talk a little bit about what that means for you guys?
Sure. People build businesses is a motto that's very important to us, because at the end of the day, it's an institution, it's a thing, but what binds it all together is the people in it. And if you look at people build businesses, what connects the people to the businesses is the build part in the middle. And how we define build is be bold, so decisive, move strategy to action, and we can move quickly and are bold when you know we're doing the right thing. We can move quickly. U is for unity, so committing to each other's success in an open and blameless culture, as I mentioned earlier. In having a high-performing team around lean, really kind of that transparency, and attracting the best people. We are a small shop, but we've had interns from University of Chicago and MIT. I is for innovate. So we listen to our customers. We're open to new ideas. The way things have always been done is not necessarily the way we have to do them forward. So we've used everything from outsourced groups in Southeast Asia to AI to actually find opportunities and meet business owners, which is very different. I think we are a little more engaged from a digital marketing standpoint, which has really helped us on the deal flow side. So that's on innovate. And then L is lead. We lead through the CES, so lifelong learning, a continuous improvement culture, and being very data-driven. We use the Catala Enterprise System to back things up with data. We can have opinions, but until the data backs them up, they don't matter. We have a saying that you're not entitled to an opinion until you've seen the work. And that means going to a shop floor. So the line worker is always more entitled to an opinion than I am, unless I've been there and seen it. And then the last one in build is duty and honor. And as a military veteran, as a Peace Corps volunteer, this is very important to us. It's integrity. It's radical candor, transparency. It's also humility and self-awareness, knowing what we're good at and what we're not, and being able to admit we're wrong. Being able to admit we're wrong is just really important in our culture. And being stewards of the capital and the businesses entrusted to us. Families have given us capital that they've worked for generations to earn. That's very important to us. And the businesses and the brands and the legacies of the multi-generational, in many cases, businesses we work with is hugely important. We're looking at currently a few businesses that are One's 20 years, one's 30 years, and one's close to 50, right? And that brand, we would like to survive beyond us if possible. And so that's a big part of it.
Yeah. I would like to briefly hit on the Innovate and how you guys are using digital marketing for deal flow and AI. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Yeah. So we have an AI group that we've worked with in a couple different social media platforms. So as an Intel guy, you've used Palantir and certain things
that. I've heard of that. Yeah.
You know, you have, I guess, high value targets in that area. and in this area, you really have CEOs and business owners where your message might resonate. We have kind of three pillars. We're purpose-driven, we're long-term focused, and we have the Catal Enterprise System, which is the kind of our three pillars. So when we're able to enunciate that in the market, you can get the message out to friends and family, but not really beyond your own network as easy. So our digital approach has been to get the message out to business owners digitally. And we've had people call us and say, hey, we're looking to sell your message resonates with us. We want to sell our business to someone who'll take better care of our people than we do. You look like you might be able to do that. Let's have a conversation. So that's been helpful on the deal flow side.
Interesting. And you hit on it there as far as the long-term approach. So you guys aren't looking at it from the 5-7 year. You're taking a much longer term perspective, it sounds like.
Yeah, how we look at it, because we don't have a traditional fund structure, is we don't have to sell at any given point. We
That's
don't
good.
Have that trigger. It is important for us to return capital to investors. But in many cases, you can recapitalize a business. When you sell a business, you have to, you get the cash, you pay the taxes, then you go find another one. So to the extent there's a good business that we can grow to a very large business that can be impactful, there's a way to have a great return for investors, an outcome for investors, and also continue on in the business.
You guys are clearly very purpose and mission driven. Some people have found that, others might not have found that. I'd be interested to hear your advice for somebody that's mid-career in. I know nowadays there's so much advice out there on LinkedIn and everywhere. I'd be interested to hear your take on that, or maybe some advice that you got that was really impactful.
Yeah, I got some advice about really finding my purpose in life. I always wanted to serve and to have a family of servants and grandfather, my dad, my mother. So that was very important. But I got the advice to really find my purpose in life and write it down. And that's very hard to do. It seems easy, but a lot of people make it to 80, and if you ask them what their purpose in life, they'd say they kind of don't know.
Yeah.
Both Ralph and I have determined what our purposes are in life. Ralph's is to unlock the potential in people, and mine is to inspire and guide servant leaders to make radical change in the world, right? And help uplift others. And so it's actually part of our internship program in the summer to really have that conversation of, you're coming in for the summer. We want to pour into you much more than you give to us if we can, right? And helping define that purpose is a very important part of that. And so that's one of the things, as I mentor young leaders, it's one of the first questions I ask is, what is that? And some of the Stanford guys have good answers on that because I guess they teach it. But most everybody else is like, what are you talking about? What, are you crazy? I'm going to make money and this and that. So I think it's good to do what I call the eulogy test. Look at, write your own eulogy or obituary and see what percentage of that is business and what the rest of it would be. And that kind of can end up being what you value in life. So,
I like it. That's a good test to put yourself through. Awesome. So we can wrap up here with a few kind of Catal specific questions. What type of companies are you guys looking for?
Yeah, so we're looking for sellers who want to partner and would like to take their businesses to the next level is one. And then also sellers who maybe want to exit, but have strong management teams behind them and want to really maintain their legacy and improve on an operational front. So that size ends up being around 3 to 10 of EBITDA. So small, medium-sized businesses between probably 30 and $80 million of revenue. Low CapEx, high free cash flow, and kind of recurring revenue models. We look for EBITDA margins around 10% and up, and then gross margins of 25% and up. And that really kind of fits in our wheelhouse. So that's kind of what we look for.
What has been, I guess, from your experience, the hardest part of building and running these small to mid-sized companies?
Yeah, I think what's difficult with a small and mid-sized business versus a large business is change is hard and can be dangerous. And so you have to be very methodical. People really matter. And in a large business, if somebody leaves, if customer leaves, it's not as big of an issue. But in a small business with a culture, you really have to protect that culture to the extent that it's valuable and understand who the tribal elders are and really have them buy into the vision. If a tribal elder, whether it's somebody on the ground floor or somebody in the C-suite, does not really buy into the vision day one, it can be very detrimental to the business. So another example of why culture is important.
Absolutely. And we can end on a culture question. You posted yesterday about scaling culture. I'd love to hear what that's been like a couple years into what you guys are doing now.
Yeah, I think it's always easy when you have two guys or ladies in a room to have your culture and sync on it. It's much harder to have it resonate throughout an organization. And so I would focus really on buy-in and giving people a voice. I talked about in the TED Talk a little bit, Cheryl Batchelder's listening tours at Popeyes. And she focused on the servant leadership model and really, you know, asking people in your business, you know, what their needs are, how you think they can improve or how they think they can improve the business, really taking that feedback and then melding it into their culture. So giving people a voice is super important to the scale, right? You can't just say, this is who we are and take it. It's this is who we are, be a part of it.
Nice. That's awesome. I couldn't agree more. Appreciate you coming on. Thanks for doing this.
No, thank you so much for the time. And I really appreciate what you're doing. Bringing value to the world in this way is really important. So thank you for all the hard work you
appreciate
do
it.
Putting these together. And grateful to be on.
Thanks for giving the show a listen. Please do me a favor before you stop listening. Subscribe on whatever platform you're on. If you loved it so much and you've already subscribed, share this episode with a friend. Thanks again, and I'll see you next week.
Matt McGee is an employee of Frost Insurance. All opinions shared by Matt or guests of the Healthy Conversations podcast are solely their own and do not reflect the opinions of Frost Insurance or Frost Bank. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon for insurance, banking, or investment advice. Healthy Conversations with Matt McGee is brought to you by Straight Up Podcasts.